Okay, I know who this is. But I'm lost right now.
You're lost?
Yeah.
Come on, wait.
But I can't let go. Is this George Benson?
It is not George Benson.
Who is it?
This is Bobby Caldwell.
Bobby Caldwell. I love this song, too.
What You Won't Do for Love.
That's right. There's a lot, but there's a lot I will. Holla back. You heard me? Welcome back to Ball Don't Lie. Me and Patrick Davis holding it down for our man, Rob B. He is back in town, though, so everyone be excited. He will be here tomorrow to bring the noise, as he always does. My man is ready to go. He's missed us all week. I know that, and he's definitely missed you, the listeners, because, you know, you make this thing go. Thank y'all for being a part of the show. 512-337-3776. That's the Specs text line. And a lot of news has come out from the 40 Acres. Sark had an availability today after practice, and there's been a lot of information that has been given by a lot of those beat reporters over there. One of the things that we've all been talking about is the quarterback position. There's no news about the quarterback position that anyone would expect. Sark said he's going to try to wait until after the second scrimmage.
Wants to see some more competition.
Yeah, he said he said, I got a pretty good idea of who it is, but I want to see these guys compete a little bit more. So, you know, we just got to see what's going to happen there. A lot of information has come out about the freshman Jalen Gillibo. He is noted as a gym rat, a football junkie, a confident player, a playmaker who is providing good competition against Jahdae Barron at the nickel. He also had an interception today, which is probably why we don't have an announcement on a quarterback. That quote came from my man, Coach Sark, but Chip Brown posted it on Chip Brown 247. So when we sit here and we listen to this stuff, and there's playmakers that are being out there and doing what we're asking them to do. They're out there making plays. It does not look good that every single day we hear about somebody making an interception. Yeah. That means that the quarterback, whether he's trying to force it in there to see if he can make it in there, I'm tired of hearing about all these interceptions and turnovers during this time. So what in the world is going on, man?
And this is the question, and you know, we talked about it a little bit earlier, that do you think Hudson Card is going to be a guy who can go in and manage your team and not throw the picks? I don't know in Sark's offense if that's really a doable thing. I don't know if you can game manage in that pro-style offense that Sark likes to run with all his cheat codes and with everything, all his trick plays, and what does he call them? His secret ingredients. I'm not sure you can have a guy go in and just kind of manage. We saw a little bit of that with Mac Jones in Alabama, I think, where he wasn't necessarily destroying it, but he was just kind of keeping it. And so if that's your basis, you might go there. But I think with Quinn Ewers, if you're going to say we want to start with a guy and get – and we're gonna roll the dice, Quinn Ewers is the guy you think that a few games into the season, it's going to click.
Right.
And, okay, there may be some growing pains. Look, Alabama's going to be rough no matter who we put in there. UTSA, hopefully that'll be the one where it clicks. In week three, hopefully it clicks for you, and you just start to run downhill. Hudson Card, I'm not sure that he's got that ceiling of, okay, once it clicks, he's going to be running down the field. So we know Sark in his head has already probably made up his mind that he wants to go with either, I think this guy is throwing picks, but he's throwing picks because I'm asking too much from him, and I can pull it back and run a playbook and solve the problem by just don't make him throw the – don't call plays where he's going to be doing that.
But if you think he's a gunslinger, and most people have said so, a lot of people think that he's carefree with the ball, how much are you willing to accept? I guess that's the biggest point that I'm trying to make, because, again, it was kind of like that thought process that I told you from the very beginning when I was in my competition in high school. And I know it's high school, this is college, I'm not going back into way back machine right now. But if you sit there and you say, what's happening right here? Is this guy going to be able to take care of the ball? There has been reports of interceptions and turnovers often during this camp. And I've told you, I'm in the camp of letting it fly and let's see what happens. But when does that start to rein in? Not by you, the coach, by me, the player.
Yeah.
I have to be careful because just like anything else, don't turn over the football.
Yeah, I agree. Because, yeah, you have to get that turnover margin fixed. In college sports, the turnover margin is huge. It's just a huge part of the game. It's why we talk about Baylor, who we'll get to in a little bit. Why Baylor can be so good is because they are good in that turnover margin. So I can understand wanting to play the more conservative route, but I think when you're all in with this defense that has had so many holes in it, and you know, man, we're going to have to put up 40 a game
right,
to be competitive in these games. We're going to have a guy that down the stretch can get the ball downfield. I also wonder how much of this goes into, because we're not seeing all of them in the scrimmage. We're not seeing all of them in practice. Where are these picks by cornerbacks? Are these picks by on single coverage? Is this a guy not seeing linebackers? Is this a guy not seeing a safety? Because if this is not reading safeties and not reading linebackers,
right,
that's a lot bigger problem.
That's different. Yeah.
If you're throwing picks to cornerbacks because the wide receiver is not getting open because a cornerback knows the route, I'm not as worried about that because you're going to try and get more separation and you're going to throw into more separation in games.
Yeah.
But if you're throwing and you are just consistently not seeing safeties or linebackers, that is where the problem is going to lie of, okay, this doesn't even matter if we play conservatively. You're still going to be throwing picks if you're throwing them to safeties and linebackers.
Yeah, and that's going to be a problem. That's something that's going to be cleaned up, and I agree with you. I think Sark is going to be able to make these adjustments and see exactly what's going to happen. Another position that Sark has talked about that he says he feels really good about is the running back position, the tight end position, the interior D-line position, in the nickel corner that we were just talking about with Jadae Barron and Jalen Gillible. One of his main concern right now, though, is the wide receiver position. So there's a lot that is trying to be digested. And again, we had a texter talk about Sark will be able to fix this offense. So sometimes that when you look at the offense and what the expectation was, it changes you a lot. The wide receiver position is going to be a major concern that we didn't think was going to happen, especially when he said he's got 16 to 18 wide receivers on camp. Now, I know all of them aren't the guys that are going to be in the front of the line. We've talked about Jay Witt. We talked about X-Man and what he's going to be able to bring. But we also got to find some guys that can replace Nayor and get into a different position and try to help. I saw today that somebody that was at the camp said that Tariq Milton showed out today. And that's great news.
Yeah.
That's something that we have been waiting for, and that's another mature player that can come in and say, all right, I'm getting my opportunity now. I was trying to be nice and let everybody go through it, but I'm here working. Now it's my time to step up, and that's what we expect from an older player.
Yeah.
We need that.
No, and I mean, we want to see that Troy Omiri. We want to see step up. We want to see a lot of these young guys step up, but that's where, too, when we talk about these interceptions, it's not just quarterbacks who make interceptions. If these wide receivers, when we hear Sark say that he's a little bit more worried about the wide receiver depth, they may not be in the separation that he wants.
Yeah.
They may not be catching balls, and balls being maybe getting tipped off of hands, which, yes, can go to a quarterback as well. I remember Chris Sims, there was always the debate that he was throwing the ball harder than Major Applewhite, and so guys were not being able to catch the ball because the ball's getting thrown harder. Like, man, that is not a quarterback problem. Mm-hmm. You need to be able to do that to play at the next level.
You got to be able to catch. That's
so,
right.
You know, you can have those problems that maybe one of these guys is throwing the ball a little bit harder than the other. And if you're practicing in a day like today, or you're out and it's 100 degrees and your hands are a little tired, you may be dropping. You got to fix those problems out at the wide receiver.
Yeah.
And we know that when Sark has talked about wanting to bump and run more with some of these cornerbacks, you know, do you have wide receivers that are having trouble getting off the line of scrimmage?
Yeah.
Because they're not used to that kind of coverage. So we could see some of those problems that are not necessarily just a straightforward, can a guy run, can a guy get open, but things of, can he stay on a route, can he come down with balls that are in harder positions, and can he get off the line of scrimmage when guys can come up and play man and bump?
Yeah, and that's going to be one of the things that we're going to see this weekend. We're going to find out this weekend in those situations who is going to be the ones to step up. But one of the things that we were talking about, too, earlier this week was the injury position. all, I mean position, the players that were injured yes. at all positions is what I meant. There's a bunch that have to go through the transition of being injured. Are you able to sit out or play in this weekend's tournament games? I keep thinking, looking at these baseball tournaments over here, the Little League World Series, I keep thinking tournament. But you sit here and you try to figure out what is next for some of these players. And one of the things that I'm concerned about is Alfred Collins. Is he going to be able to play anytime soon? I know the report said he might be out 4 to 6 weeks. I haven't heard that from confirmed from anybody. Roshan Johnson, I saw pictures. I got pictures sent to me. He didn't even have the boot on at the scrimmage the other day. He was walking around just fine. So yeah. It looks like he may be back a little bit sooner than what we thought.
Yeah, we know from Chip Brown reported that the minor injuries, and he listed, I don't know if Sark said it or if these are the injuries, Alfred Collins, Troy O'Meary, Cole Hudson, Roshan Johnson, and Jahdae Barron are not playing in the scrimmage this Saturday. But he's listed as all minor injuries.
Yeah.
So if we're listing those at minor and they're not playing this Saturday, and Alfred Collins is in that group with those other guys, and Roshan Johnson's in that group, I think that's better news for both of them, that maybe it's not as bad as initially thought.
Yeah, and that's going to be huge, especially when you're starting to look at who are some of these names that were involved in it. Troy O'Meary, another wide receiver, he's dinged up again. He's starting to be that guy, and I was joking between breaks yesterday talking with my man Chip Brown because we were talking about Kirk Johnson.
Yeah.
Kirk Johnson was the guy that we thought was going to be it. He was finally having a great camp. He was going to get his opportunity. And that's when the entire room got hurt, and that's why Rojo ended up playing running back. Kirko was somebody that never got an opportunity to be on the field, and he was the one that was more hyped, even more so than his brother. So you're sitting there trying to figure out what is next for this group. Another name that we've been talking about throughout this process is Cole Hudson. By the way, Cole Hudson and Kelvin Banks were named preseason all-true freshman team. They were named to the all-true freshman team. Evan Stewart and Jace Johnson from Texas A&M for the Aggies out there. But you sit there and you try to figure out what is going to happen with some of these players. So Roshan Johnson we already know about, but Alfred Collins and Jahdae Barron, who has been having a good camp up until the injury, now what's next? Next man up? Okay.
Yeah.
My opportunities are there. So it may be hard for you to come back and try to get that position back.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be – it is very much a next man up. And when we talked about how many young guys this Texas team has playing, you know, that waiting period isn't the same as it used to be, because you know if we have so many freshmen and sophomore on this team, man, if this guy gets ahead of me, he may be ahead of me for 3 years.
Yes.
So this ain't a battle of – all right, well, he's ahead of me, but he's a senior, so he'll be gone, and then I'll be the next guy up, and I miss 1 year as a backup. This is a battle that could be going on for several years. So when you have these injuries up top, it slows you down. It's disappointing to see, but I'm glad. I trust what Sark's recruiting has been so far, especially in that offensive side of wide receivers and quarterbacks. I think he's brought in a lot of good talent, and it's just going to be – we saw a thing yesterday about Aaron Rodgers talking about his wide receivers getting on him. I think right. It's going to be that with this offense, without a quarterback that really, really knows the offense well, who's going to be able to go in with these wide receivers and make sure they know every single one of these plays, so when it becomes 3rd and 12, who's going to get on him and go, oh, I know you're running the route perfect.
Right.
So I know if I'm running away from a DN that run past me, I can turn around and you're right where I need you to be.
Yeah,
those are the kind of things that you really want to make sure. And that's where I think you're going to see Roshan Johnson step up and be a leader of, even if he's not in the scrimmage, making sure some of these young guys know the playbook.
Yeah, that's one of the best things that you can talk about right there. Know the playbook. Know what's happening.
Yeah.
And make sure that you make the most out of it.
If you want to make a friend out of a guy like Sark,
yeah,
know every single play in that playbook.
No doubt. And one of the things that Sark, before we move on and talk about our top 10, or excuse me, top 20 countdown brought to you by Allstat Beer. I wanted to point out that Joe Cook pointed out that Sark on the tight ends, I think that's one of the most improved group position groups. He compliments Sanders' receiving ability, plus the efforts in camp by Juwan Davis, and Jaleel Billingsley. That is the position that I think is going to have to step up if they don't figure out what's going to happen at that wide receiver position. You know, it's kind of funny you were talking about how Dak and Kellen Moore, they always work with that third wide receiver and they become just as important as everybody else. I think the same thing can happen here. If they're going to try to take away what Jordan Whittington and X-Man can do, there's going to have to be somebody in that slot position and possibly the tight end position that takes that next step to try to take away from what Isaiah Nair was going to be.
And I think it's going to be a rotation of several guys that are going to fit in with the right plays. And once Hall is able to come back and be in the right frame of mind and learn playbook, if he is, I think he will be able to.
I think
he will be able to.
Me too.
NIL said they said
new NCAA rule,
they're going to be able to pay for parking now.
They're going to be able to pay for parking. So free Ajay Hall. Hashtag free Ajay Hall.
So hopefully he'll be back and fit in there. But I think you're going to see, you know, X-Man and Whittington come in and be able to, you know, carry the brunt. But on that third wide receiver, all right, we need a guy to go down and fly. We need a guy to break out. We need a sideline catch. Hey, we need a screen. Hey, we need blocking on a screen. Hey, we need block. I think you're going to see a rotation of guys that maybe kind of have to fill in there that Nair was supposed to be the guy to do that. But in the end of the day, we're going to have to go, okay, what's your best skill? Okay, man, you're really good at blocking on screen. So we're going to put you out on this, but we're also going to run you on slants across the middle because you got good hands up close. All right, you're fast and you can catch running downfield.
Yeah.
Things like that and kind of get guys into different situations, at least until somebody can take that next step and take the job.
Oh, man, I can't wait until find out what Saturday is going to bring us because it's right there. It's that time.
I know we all can't wait for the first two deeps to see who we get listed on that wide receiver depth chart.
Yeah.
And go, okay, we know it's X-Man, we know it's Jaywitt.
Yeah, and then who's
lined up behind there?
Yeah, who are going to be those guys that have made an impression enough to be able to do so. So I'm really, really excited about that. But I know the people up the road north of us on 35 in the 254 are really excited about their team. It's our number 17 in the Horn Top 20 Countdown, brought to you by Allstat Beer.
When you put that uniform on, you better come to work.
It's the Horn Top 20, brought to you by Allstat Beer. No impurities, no regrets. Number 7, the Baylor Bears.
The Baylor Bears, defending Big 12 champions, are ready to come back. They've already made the changes. They got a new quarterback. Well, he's actually an old quarterback, but he's a new quarterback for them because he didn't start the season, but he finished the season for them. They got a lot that they're going to have to replace. Jalen Petrie, the safety. Patrick don't like the Texans anymore, so you can still cheer for him.
I know. I told you. Casario's doing good work.
Yeah.
So I think Petrie is a great addition. Yeah, Petrie's a hell of a player.
He's definitely a player. They're going to be missing him in Baylor. They're also going to be missing another part of that defense, Terrell Bernard. He too, is in the NFL. And then they lost the top running back in Abram Smith. They all got a lot to replace, but the two places that everybody needs to start from is the offensive and defensive line. And I think the Baylor Bears have that covered. There's a lot of big beef that is sitting there that are going to be able to cause problems. And if you could work on the defensive side of the ball, slowing people down, that offense got some huge guys up front that are ready to make some noise. The Baylor Bears are ready to contend again. And we also could talk about the fact that Dave Aranda, who is just like a monk, as they like to say, my man is just calm, cool, and collected. I'm sure he's pretty tough in that locker room amongst the players, but when he's delivering the message to everyone else, he looks like he is totally, totally reserved and in the right place. Jeff Grimes, the offensive coordinator, has done a great job. They have Ron Roberts as the defensive coordinator, but we also know Dave Aranda is a defensive-minded coach. He likes to be slow and methodical, but he also has some big play cut capabilities. They're going to have to replace a lot on the outside. They got NFL players that are cashing checks that are ready to begin on Sunday, but they got some guys that are going to have to come in and make some really big adjustments. The tight end, Ben Simmons. Why do I don't call him Ben Simmons?
Hey, man, he's showing up.
Yeah, that's true. So I got to give that man respect. Ben Sims is the one that's showing up. He's a senior, big fella right there. They got a backup tight end, Drake Dabney, that is going to be a big part of what they're doing. He's family, by the way. I just wanted to let y'all know that. But they got to replace that running game, and the Baylor Bears are coming in at number 7 on our top 20 countdown. What are your thoughts on the Baylor Bears?
Well, I'm going to tell you a position or a field that we don't necessarily talk about a ton, a thing that's not going to win you a bunch of games, but will lose you if you don't have it. They're special teams. They're returning a kicker. Yep. They actually have a backup kicker who's really good as well.
Yep.
So they're able to get some kicking game in there. They have a kickoff specialist. They got a punter who's averaging 45 yards a punt. So other than their returner, who they're going to have to replace the returner this year, other than that, their kicking game, their punting game seems to be on point. And to have that, when you add in an O&D line, a special teams that's not going to cost you games, when you have a coach who is even-minded and is able to make adjustments in-game very well, you have a quarterback who is now had more than a year in the system, played last year at the end of the year. All of those things combining gives you, I mean, out of every team, we can say Texas probably has more talent. Oklahoma probably has more talent.
Yeah.
If you just want to talk about, I think they're kind of where we thought Oklahoma State was going to be last year, the year before.
Mm-hmm.
I think they've jumped past them now of the team that you just go, this has the most consistency now. And it's in a short amount of time, Miranda has turned it around.
Yeah,
but
it's amazing.
Consistency to say, all right, I don't think we have a real weak spot where you're going to be able to exploit us on anything. That's where Baylor becomes scary. That's why they're number 7, is because they don't seem like they're going to give away games. And a team like Texas, a team like Oklahoma, a team like Texas Tech even, throwing in there. But those teams are going to have to come out and do something special to beat Baylor. And if you can do that in college football, especially in a Big 12 that isn't loaded right now, you're going to win a lot of games.
Yeah, they last year's losses were to Oklahoma State, at Oklahoma State. They lost by 10, 24-14. And then they lost to TCU 30-28 on the road. Both of those games are on the road. So you go back and you look at this year's schedule. They start the season off with Albany. That should be a win. BYU, I don't care what anybody says, that's a tough game early in the season that you're going to have.
Future conference game.
Yeah, future conference game, and that's September 10th. There's going to be a lot going on that day. Then they play Texas State. I know my man Jake Spavital, Coach Spavital, is ready to try to take that next step. They play them at home. But then they go to Iowa State to open up Big 12 play on September 24th. And this is where we look at Iowa State and say, are they able to come back from what they were a few years ago? Last year wasn't the best year for Iowa State. So I know Matt Campbell, one of the best coaches out there, who's, I think he might have missed his opportunity when the NFL was calling for him. It looked like they might have missed his opportunity. But then they host Oklahoma State, and then they go on the road at West Virginia. But they have October 29th, they're at Texas Tech. You know what that's about. When you go to Tech, that's Halloween weekend. Everybody's going to be out there dressed in black, I can guarantee that, and acting crazy. And then they go to OU. So, and then they finish the season with Texas at home. So, no, excuse me, here.
Yeah,
they here, come here.
That is going to be the crazy weekend we have here at Texas, where I believe that's the Gregory Gym game as well for UT basketball on that day. So it is going to be a nuts day after the Saturday after Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
it is going to be nuts down there on campus. And if Texas is able to compete, then this becomes a big game for Baylor as well, because you'll be able to play spoiler at the end of that season. Hopefully Texas does not have a slide at the end of the season like they did last year.
Yeah.
So they're competing. But yeah, I mean, I think getting Oklahoma State at home is going to be very big for them this year, because that's going to be one of the earlier challenges they face. But yeah, going up to Iowa State early in the season is pretty much your biggest challenge, and I don't know if Iowa State's going to be ready to go that quick after recovering from last season.
Yeah, it's going to be something to pay attention to, but the Baylor Bears are an exciting team. Dave Aranda is a hell of a coach, and I think that they're going to be in the mix for quite some time, especially when you got both sides of the ball on the offensive and defensive line intact. You can start there and build around it. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to get into the Astros and the Rangers when we come back. Both teams scored a lot of runs today. Matter of fact, might have won a football game with that, some of these scores. But we'll talk about that when we get back right here on Ball Don't Lie. Welcome back to a Yacht Rock Thursday edition of Ball Don't Lie. My man Patrick always jamming. This isn't Michael McDonald.
Michael McDonald is in this song. He does the backup vocals in this song.
All right, who is this?
This is Christopher Cross.
Christopher
Austin's
Cross.
Austin's own Christopher Cross.
What?
You know, Christopher Cross and Austin, man.
Man, he sounds a lot like There he goes. There's my guy.
No, you see. No, when it hits,
there's
you know.
My guy. There he is right there. I love it. I love the fact that that's what was going down right there. Man, a lot has been going on. Everybody's been asking where Rod is. He got hung up today. Weather, travel, all got blocked up. So he will be here tomorrow. He is in town. But listen, y'all got to understand, that dude works harder than anybody.
We know he's watching film on the plane
on
the tarmac.
Exactly. He's got everything for you. Don't worry, people. Your man will be back tomorrow. He's not gone anywhere. He had to handle some business, and that's what happened. He needed time off, and football is right around the corner, so he's going to be bringing the energy as he always does, all to the good. But let's get into it, man, because there was a big day in the major leagues, and it's kind of funny because – you know, we were kind of not freaking out about the Houston Astros and what was going on and how we thought they were handling. Dusty wasn't handling business the way we thought he should have been handling. Dusty's then forgot more baseball than we'll ever even know. But today the Astros opened up the can and he put it all on him. The Astros win today 21-5. Against the Chicago White Sox, 21-5.
They had a position player in there pitching at one point.
Yeah, not the Astros. The
White Sox.
The White Sox had him out there.
They threw up their socks as a flag, just a white flag.
Said, this is enough right here. Altuve had a big game, 2-for-5. Uriel, hey, listen. He decided he wanted to play. He went 3-for-5 today. He's got his batting average up to .248. Yordan went 1-for-3. Bregman, 4-for-6 today. Kyle Tucker, 4-for-6. Bregman went 4-for-6 with 6 RBIs today. Ooh. Kyle Tucker had 3 RBIs. Mancini finally got back in the lineup and being a little bit more consistent out there. DHing today, hit a home run. Pena finally got a couple hits. Thank you. He's up over .250. And guess what? They decided to let Christian Vasquez play today. He just happened to go 4-for-6 today.
2 RBIs.
Come on, man. Put this man in the lineup a little bit more. I know about loyalties, and I get it. Dusty, I understand, but you made a trade. I don't care if you were part of the trade or not part of the trade. Put this man in the lineup. If Justin Verlander wants Machete to catch him, that's who you let him catch.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
We can do that.
I get Fromber wants him too, but man.
Yeah, Fromber, who had another great night last night.
Yes.
Who had another quality start. I forgot to bring that up. I wanted to talk about that a little bit earlier. Fromber Valdez gets his 20th consecutive quality start, tying him for the franchise record set by Mike Scott in 1986 by going 7 innings, 7 hits, 2 runs, 2 earned runs, 3 walks, and 6 strikeouts. He has an ERA of 2.72. Yeah. That's outstanding work right there. I told you, once he got his hair, man, it was on and popping.
And hey man, as we can tell, he is not going to Tatis's barber.
No,
so he's okay.
That's right. They haven't tested him for the steroids. But the Astros had a great day today. Mancini with his 14th home run of the year. Bregman had 2 home runs, his 18th of the year. Chaz McCormick had his 12th of the year, and they've been driving the ball all over the place. They only left 7 men on base today. 7 men, but when you score 21, it's okay to leave 7 men on base. I think they go to Atlanta is their next series. I think that's their next place to go. I think they go to play Atlanta this weekend. But, man, that's a great look right there. They're 77-43, 38-25. On away games. That is a great look as well. I also want to talk about the Texas Rangers. A big day today. They won again. A lot of changes has happened in Arlington, but one thing that has changed, they decided to win a little bit more games than what they were winning before. They beat the Oakland A's at home 10-3. Big day at the plate, on the mound by Dunning. He went 6 innings, 2 earned runs, 4 Ks, 3 walks. The offense started swinging the bat early and often. Matias, who's been called up, Lowe, who's been there for the beginning of the season, his 17th home run. Matias hit his second home run of the year. And again, they've been doing some great stuff. Marcus Semien been driving the ball. He had two walks today. He's got his on-base percentage going up. His slugging percentage is going up. He had his batting average is at .234. I thought I saw Seager about to hit a home run. I told you that during one of the breaks. But he ended up flying out to deep center field. My man Bubba Thompson went 2-for-4, scored a run. Still got another strikeout, but he's hitting .261 on the season. So letting these guys come up and get these reps, and the changes are starting to happen. Man, you start looking at this Texas Ranger team and what they can accomplish. We can look at Oakland, and they're not doing that great, obviously. There's been a lot of changes over there. They need to get completely out of Oakland and probably move to Las Vegas so they can start having a little bit more fun. But you start looking at these these Texas Rangers. What are your thoughts on them and if they're going to make the right changes? Because a lot of players seem to really like Beasley as the manager right now. He's doing the interim. Everybody gets a tryout. Everybody starts talking about who's going to be the next coach. But right now, it looks like these guys are playing hard for him.
I think you need to bring in a baseball guy, old school baseball guy that can scout some talent and find you some guys, even in your own organization, that you need to kind of fast track and bring that guy in sooner rather than later and get him in, and then you can start worrying about the manager. But right now, you need to figure out the guy who's going to be running your organization.
And speaking of fast track and trying to get some more guys up there, Josh Young, the top prospect in the organization, had another huge night last night. He's here in town. If you want to go out and try to watch him, the Round Rock Express are in town, and he has another huge night last night. He had two home runs and had six RBIs. Again, that was on Tuesday. Last night he had another big home run, and they ended up losing, but he is on fire. I believe he's hitting like .415 right now with his time in AAA. He's coming back from an injury, and everybody's nervous because they think that he's about to get called up. I keep saying he's going to be here for a little while because of the fact that he's missed so much time due to that injury that he had, and just getting him back in place. He may make it during the week. He may make it through the weekend. But he might have a chance to go to the big leagues by the end of this week or next week. So,
yeah, man,
I mean, by the end of next week.
You just want to see some guys get some reps out there. That's a big thing for these young guys, to go against the best in the world, and that's in Major League Baseball. If you can go up against them, you can go up against anybody, but it takes a little bit of time to get used to. And we've talked about it in football a bunch, the game slowing down for you. And, you know, look, I'd rather know at the end of the season, this guy has a lot of trouble hitting a slider. Mm-hmm. This guy has a lot of trouble hitting a curve. This guy's chasing fastballs up in the zone every time. I want to know that so I can work on a plan in the offseason, so I can work on a plan of where to get him so I'm ready for next season. I don't want to walk into next season thinking I got something, right, and all of a sudden he can't hit in big games.
Yeah, and one of the things, too, that you got to look at is the way that he's been playing thus far in 2019. He only played in 44 games in 2021 because of COVID. He didn't get a chance to play that year. So in 2021, he only played in 78 games. And this year, he's only played in 15 games. But in those 15 games, he's got a batting average. Well, he's got eight home runs already. He's got eight home runs just in his little time in the minor leagues this year. So it is something to pay attention to. They will be making some changes. I know that for a fact. They're doing what they need to do to get this organization back on track. And I do believe, I like what you were saying, Patrick, about getting some of these younger players to come up. That's what I've been saying. If they're going to struggle, let them struggle in the big leagues. Let them have that understanding of what's important for them right now. And he is just continuing to slap the ball all over the place. And he'll be a big-time third baseman for the Texas Rangers. Man, I love baseball season. This is about to be pennant race time.
I know. We're getting to the really fun part.
Yeah.
And I love that the Astros are playing so good, they're starting to get back on TV so I can watch them.
Yeah.
I know they're on TV on Saturday again. I can watch my boys.
There you go. There he is right there. We're going to let you know what's on tap and let you know Rob Babers will be back tomorrow, folks. Don't worry about it. Our man will be back. All that and more right here on Ball Don't Lie.
Pop a top again.
You mind if I have some of your tasty beverage to wash this down?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've been known to drink a beer or two.
I think a man working outdoors feels more like a man if you can have a bottle of suds. It's only my opinion. sir.
I got beer.
I got bottled breast milk.
Why don't we start with the beer?
Okay.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Wait, it's already 5 o'clock here. It's time for What's on Tap.
How about a nice cool drink?
That is really good.
That is good.
Pop a top again.
Before we get out of here, we're going to let everybody know what we have on tap. There's a lot to get into. The Deshaun Watson news is the biggest news of the day. The Houston Astros win. The Texas Rangers win. But there's also information about who's going to be the starting quarterback at the University of Texas. There was no answer. You will find out more after this weekend. But there is football tonight. There's
football
a lot of
tonight.
Football tonight. The Chicago Bears are playing against the Seattle Seahawks, so you can check that out. Got Little League World Series that is going to be on tonight. And, of course, you know, there's always a little family drama on TV. Why not find some out there?
Patrick, watch that Manti Te'o thing that's out there now. I haven't watched it yet. I heard that's crazy. No, I mean, I'm going to watch football. I think I'm also going to do my first mock draft. I haven't even done a mock draft for fantasy yet.
Okay, how many leagues are you in?
Two.
I'm in three.
I'm like a backup in like four others that they're like, if someone drops out, but I haven't heard anything. And I try not to have too many because then it just gets crazy.
Yeah, there's just really too much to start paying attention to. But keep listening. I'm going to have some information about a fantasy league that you could possibly jump into that you could participate with me.
Exactly.
I'll get some more information to you here in the next couple weeks. It's going to be a little bit of fun out there, man. I just want y'all to know that we have had a great time with you. Thanks for all the guests that we've had this week. We got one more day. Make sure y'all are being careful. We got some rain. We got some rain, and we all need that rain. Rob Babers will be back in the house. I want to thank Patrick for always doing what he does, and that's always a great job. Lou, thanks for always coming to check on me, buddy, every time I walk in here. And just remember this, don't believe everything you see, because even salt looks like sugar. Peace.